Good morning, everybody. Wanted to talk to you a little bit about time management, and to start off by saying that I'm definitely not an expert in this, and everybody has an opportunity to improve in this area, no matter how good we think we might be, because there's only so much time in our day and in our life, and I'm sure a lot of us feel like there's always opportunities to do something additional to what we're currently doing, or a way to do what we're currently doing in more efficient use of time. So we'll go through some of these slides that I have prepared, but by all means, if anybody has any comments or any experiences and like best practices around time management, we definitely welcome that input. So just a few objectives of what I thought I'd like to cover today. The first thing is to understand the meaning and the value of time. I also want to talk a little bit about recognizing the need for time management so that we can all agree that it is something important that we need to do. Trying to come up with the difference between what is considered to be urgent and what is considered to be important, because I think that will help in the context of time management, understanding the difference between the two and how to determine where we're spending our time and how to focus between urgency and importance. And then, of course, also to find a way together to dedicate enough time or more time for spiritual activities. How you use your time reflects your two priorities and your self-discipline. So it's something that we should all be conscious of. And we know, like, the Egyptian cultural background doesn't help us because we tend to be late for a lot of things as Egyptians. But remember that the way we use our time reflects what our priorities are and our self-discipline. So just because we're coming from a culture that may not necessarily respect time very well, we shouldn't use that as kind of our excuse and our, well, you know, I'm Egyptian and everybody else does it. Everybody else is late, so it's okay. Because in the end, it reflects, like this says, what our priorities are and our self-discipline. And then I thought a verse that's kind of reflective throughout the talk today that I'll refer to and hopefully we can memorize is from Ephesians 5:16, and it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. It's a phrase because it's a couple of verses, but in a sentence together. Okay, so what is time? If you look it up in a dictionary, I thought it was interesting because I didn't know how you would define time in a dictionary, but it says it's a stretch of duration in which things happen. But if we think about it, time is really an opportunity that God has given humans. It's a gift from God, right? So just like anything else that God gave us, he gave us health, he gave us family, he gave us all kinds of things, he gives us the gift of time. And it's really up to us to use it wisely or unwisely. And there's nothing in between. Because if you're using it wisely, you're making good use of your gift. If you're not using it wisely, then you're being unwise about it. And in the end of our life here on earth, we will answer to God about how we use our time, just like everything else. How we use any talent or gift that God gives us, we will have to answer to him at the end of our life here on earth. And I'm sure we all know this, but it is a fact of life that our time on earth is relatively short in the grand scheme of things, right? When you think of eternal life and heaven, just the word eternal means it's ongoing. There's no end. So if you think about our lifespan here on earth compared to eternity, it's minuscule. It's really minimal. So even that is more of an argument for us to say, hey, if our time here is short, we really need to maximize it. We really need to use the talents God gave us in this short period of time to do his will and to be as good Christian examples as we possibly can so that we can be worthy of inheriting eternal life. Time can be lost, right? You cannot store time and you cannot postpone time. So this minute that just happened will never happen again. So if you think about what we just did in this minute, whether we were daydreaming or we were, you know, paying attention to this or thinking about what we're going to do later on today, that is time that was spent. And then it's up to us to allocate how are we spending our time throughout the day and throughout our lives. Are we spending it wisely? There are no timeouts, right? I know science is all about trying to find creative ways to you know, pause time or, you know, find a way to go back in time. You have TiVo now and you have all kinds of, you know, technology that says, well, if you're not in one place, maybe you can, you know, do something and still not forget or miss something else that's going on TV, or, you know, you have video recording or telepresence, things that happen simultaneously so that you can be almost at two places at the same time. But it's not really the case, right? Because when you record something and you watch it again, you may have heard on the news what the result is already, or you may have talked to a friend who's already seen it and you already know what it is. And it's not exactly the same as seeing something live. So do not be deceived. There are no such thing as timeouts, or, you know what, I'm just going to take a break and just do whatever I want for this time. That time is actually happening, and it's being lost if you don't use it effectively. So we need to realize that we have to spend every moment, whether it's wisely or unwisely, it's still being spent. So this is a statement that I want to ask your opinion on. Lazy people have no time. What do you think? Do you think that's accurate, true, or false? Lazy people have no time.
They do have time, so it's false, but they choose to be lazy.
Okay.
They just don't use their time wisely.
Okay. Good comment. Any other thoughts? Yeah?
Maybe sometimes lazy people are overwhelmed by time and they can't organize themselves very
well. Okay.
It kind of reminds me of what the topic was at the retreat in Wisconsin. Like, laziness kind of leads to putting things off because you're lazy, and all things really busy, you have no time.
Yeah, good. So the statement is false, right? Because everybody, like we just said, has the gift of time. And it's up to us to determine whether we use it wisely or not use it. But you still have time whether you choose to use it wisely or not. So this statement is false. But what I think this is trying to convey is, like anything else in life, when you have it in abundance and you don't know what to do with it or you don't manage it, like the comments we're hearing, it's almost as if you don't have it. Right? So I'll give you an analogy. If we go to a restaurant and they have a huge buffet of any item and every item that you can think of, breakfast foods, lunch foods, dinner foods, desserts, you name it. They've got it all and you're just overwhelmed, your eyes don't know where to start. Do you think the quality of that food, or let me ask you this, how do you think the quality of that food will compare to, say, a nice restaurant that has an a la carte menu and you can pick and select every single item that you'd like to see on a plate in front of you, and you may even have a choice of, you know, adjusting, you know, spices or sides or whatever. What do you think in general when you go to a buffet restaurant versus a sit-down restaurant that's a la carte? The quality of the food. Okay, depends on the price. That's a good point. But if you assume the price you're paying for the entire buffet selection is the same price that you're paying for your dinner meal a la carte that you order, what do you think the quality would be comparable to? Which one has better quality? The sit-down, right? Because you have a little bit more ability to customize and to select what you are in the mood for eating. Whereas in the buffet, you don't know where to start and you're going to pick a little bit here and there, and they're making in mass quantities for all kinds of people of different, you know, eating preferences and so forth. So it's probably going to be on the blander side because it has to cater to all kinds of preferences. And if you want it spiced, then you add your, you know, Tabasco or some other sauce on the side. So it's not going to be catered to what you want as opposed to something that's a la carte and you say, well, I want it this way. And if you pick a meat in the restaurant, they ask you how you want it cooked and all these things. It's different quality, right? So that's the analogy I came up with, like this. Just like a rich person, you often find someone who's like multi-millionaire who has so much money, doesn't know what to even do or how to keep it accountable and where to spend or where not to spend. They're probably just going to be throwing it away and they're not going to know. If you ask them, so how did you spend your money over this last week or last few days? They're probably not going to know exactly to the penny because they have so much, it almost loses a little bit of its value to them. So the same thing here. Lazy people definitely have time, but for them, the value of time is minimized dramatically because they have so much time, they're not spending it wisely, and they don't know what to do with it. So we have to be careful that we don't fall in this category and just sit around and let time pass, because we're losing the meaning and the value of time, which, again, we said was a gift from God. Is there a comment?
Yes, Amy. Well, you know, some people ask if money can buy happiness. The answer is, depends on how you spend it. Anyone can go bankrupt. Donald Trump has gone bankrupt several times.
Yeah, absolutely. And as Christians, even more, we know that money is not the true source of happiness, right?
Well, it depends on what you're going to use it for.
Yeah. Okay, so a couple of other things to think about in the context of time being an opportunity. Busy people always find times to do things. It's a weird phenomenon, right? You think that if you're so busy and you have so much responsibility, how are you going to take on more responsibility? Where are you going to find the time to do it? But you know what? Most cases, busy people are still finding time to do that extra thing or to help other people or to go to an extra place and fit it in their day. Right? And then on the contrary, if someone says they have no time to do anything, it makes you wonder, right? Especially when you see those other busy people who are going to so much more than these people who say, oh, I have no time, I can't help you or I can't do this, yet they still fit it in. So we always have to be careful, because it's so easy to make the excuse and say, you know what, I'm busy. I don't have time for X, Y, or Z. I've got so much going on. Right? But we have to really think about that. Are we saying we're busy because we're not interested in helping, or because we truly don't have the time? And if we truly don't have the time, are we using our time wisely? And can we be more efficient with our time so that we can then fit in some of these extra things to help other people out, to do a good deed, or whatever it might be? It is very important that we be active, because if you lose out in your ability to be active, that's when you get to be lazy. That's when you make excuses for yourself, and that's when you kind of sit back and say, oh, that's okay, I'm not going to go to this thing, or that person will find help somewhere else, they don't need me to help. And that's how we start losing our efficiency in our time. And then if you think on a positive note, one way to be motivated to use your time wisely is to always look for the sense of accomplishment. When you are able to complete a task and you have accomplished something, it gives you that extra energy or that like incentive, like, wow, I did something really meaningful, or I was able to finish something that may have been tough or that I thought was tough. So when we count how many things we can accomplish and we focus our tasks and how we spend our time against key accomplishments, it makes us use our time more wisely and be more efficient. It's also very good mentally, physically, and spiritually. Whenever we can account for certain activities that we've completed or do things with our time wisely, it gives us that extra energy and that boost, that sense of accomplishment. And then we always have to remember, what is God's will for our time? That's also something we should keep in the back of our minds all the time. Are we spending our time according to what God wants us to spend our time? Are we doing God's will with our time? Are we using our time in a way, where we can worship and praise His holy name? Okay, so this is a little bit more of the same topic, but I'll point out the second bullet point because I think that's very interesting. When people were asked, do they have enough time in a survey, 1 in 100 people think that they have enough time to do what they need to get done. 1% of the population, I don't know if this is across the U.S. or where this survey was, but the people in this survey, only 1% thought that they had enough time. So we have to think about that, because we all lead busy lives. We are all very distracted and have so many opportunities for distraction. Every minute, every hour, every day, every week, there is so much going on. If you take a form and track your day for just a few days as to how you spent your time, it'll be very interesting and very eye-opening for you. Of course, there's some big nuggets, right? There's a big element of sleep. Well, we hope there is for everybody. There's an element of sleep, but you need it for rest, right? And God planned that accordingly. He gave us 24-hour days, the day and the night, The night is for rest and sleep, to refresh yourself, to be able to do more activities the next day. So if you account for that amount of time, it's a significant portion, right? One might argue that another portion is work or studying, because that's how we spend most of our day, right? So that's another significant amount of time. But if you think about it, you probably still have, on average, about another 8 hours left out of the 24. If you say a good person gets about 8 hours of sleep, maybe not all of us in this room, and a decent work schedule is about 8 hours a day, again, maybe not everyone in this room, that's 16, you're left with 8 extra hours. If you think and track how you're spending those 8 hours over a few days, you'll be surprised. How much time is going to very useful things? Whether it's your spirituality, or things for your health, or your family, or whatever you consider to be important during those days. How much time are you spending actually towards those things? Versus how much time are you spending towards maybe not so wise things, right? I'm not saying that we shouldn't entertain ourselves. Sitting in front of the TV or whatever form of entertainment is important, but it has its time and it has its amount of time. So again, if you were to do an exercise of measuring your time over a few days, and I encourage you to do that because that's a big first step in time management, it'll be eye-opening. It'll show you for yourself where are you spending your time and where is those pockets of lost time. If you're waiting for someone for 15, 20 minutes, that's a sizable amount of time that you could be doing something while you're waiting for someone, whether they're late or you're on time or whatever it might be. If, you know, you're spending so much time eating, is that necessary? I mean, are we spending an hour in the day eating, or are we spending several hours in the day eating? Like, think about those things and help put them into context. There are a few verses from the Bible that I wanted to bring to your attention about living a godly life is an orderly life. Okay, so there is elements of time management that are reflected in messages in the Bible. Okay, and it talks about proper use of time and resources. In 1 Corinthians 14:40, it says, all things must be done properly and in an orderly manner. Okay? God is not a God of confusion. This is also in 1 Corinthians, right? So God is very orderly. He created the universe, He created the earth, and He made everything to perfection because He's so orderly and organized. And He did everything in its time. So He is like the true role model, if you will, of how to manage our time. And then we hear from St. Paul in the book of Titus, it says, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains. So we see even in the progression of the people that God used to preach and to convey His word and His messages, there is a certain order. We see in the church, there is an order. There's a hierarchy of positions. There's an order for when things are said in the liturgy, for how the service starts and ends, there is an order. So just like everything else that the church teaches us and how God taught us and the Bible teaches us, there is an orderly manner for living a godly life. And again, Jesus was a great time manager. We'll see in a few verses in the Gospel of John how they exemplify that. He says, I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Right? So this is Jesus talking to God. And He's telling Him that you gave me a will to do. You asked me to save the people. You asked me to meet these things. You asked me to do all of these things and to fulfill the prophecies, and I've accomplished the work which you have given me to do. And then when He's on the cross, He yelled, it's finished. When He finished it, everything. He fulfilled all the prophecies. He did all of His passions. He sacrificed Himself. He was about to give up the Holy Spirit. And everything happened in a timely manner, in a perfect manner, according to God's will. So Jesus completed His plan, or God's plan for Him on earth, in about 3 years' time. So imagine that goal as well. For Jesus to come on earth and grow up and be at an age of when He can preach the message to the people on earth, and He only had about 3 years' time between when He started officially preaching to people and having His disciples and when He died on the cross. It's a huge task. It definitely requires time management. Now, here are some verses that apply to us and God asking us to use our time wisely. We have in Ephesians 5:15-16, again, this is the verse that I recommend for memorization. He says, "Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil." And again, this is a point that I want to make from this verse that he's inferring. If we are not managing our time properly and we are not being wise, we give opportunity for evil and sin to come into play, right? So whenever we're lazy, whenever we are very easy with our time, we don't have a plan, we don't know what we're doing, it's the devil's opportunity to tempt us and fill that void of time with evil and sin. Right? Abuna has said a lot of times in my personal confession, if you want to avoid a sin, make sure that you allocate your time. And if you know that in the evening you've got 2 hours where you're so tired from work and you don't know what to do with yourself and you just want to relax, then put some activities. It's not about losing entertainment. You can put some time for TV, put some time for reading, whatever sports, whatever your entertainment is, but allocate it. So that when that time comes, it's not like, oh, you know what? I don't feel like doing this hobby, or I don't feel like doing that, and I'm not really in the ability to go out, or it's bad weather, it's winter time, I don't know what to do with myself. Boom. The devil brings you a list of temptations. You can do this, you can do that. This is interesting. This is a lot of fun. Oh, you have nothing else to do tonight. Why don't you do X? Why don't you do Y and Z? That's how sin and temptation really take over us. It's when we're not managing our time properly. In Colossians 4:5, it says, "Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity." And this is a reflection on how we spend time with other people, when we're interacting with other people and trying to reflect a true Christian example and Christian behavior. And again, how we spend our time with other people, what we're saying, what we're doing, and how we're behaving is also an opportunity for doing it wisely or unwisely. So we have to consider about that. And I'm sure we've heard in several lessons, because this comes out a lot, that we have to reflect the true image of Christ in all our interactions, in everything that we do. Whether we're in an elevator in the morning and we have strangers in the building that we have no idea who they are, we have an opportunity there. Or whether we're walking down the street and we're, you know, encountering a situation that happens on the road, we have an opportunity there. Or with family, friends, people we know. There are always so many opportunities that God offers us in life as to what we do with our time and how we can convey the message of God. This is, again, a little bit more. I want to continue on to get to a bit on the priorities. And I'll just talk briefly about tithes of our time. There is the thought by a lot of people that tithes only apply to money, and that the commandment about pay your tithes is, you know, 10% of our income, and we give it to the church however way, and we're done and it's finished. But that's not actually the case. In Malachi 3, he talks about tithes not just being for money, but for everything, which includes time. So we have to realize that the tithes commandment is not just money, it's time. So again, if you think about your day, your week, your month, your life, are you giving a portion of that time to God? And that can be in so many ways. That can be in prayer and meditation and reading the Bible. That can be in serving the church, your family, the community, the poor and the needy. It can even be about thinking of God throughout our day, right? The verse in 1 Thessalonians that says, "Pray without ceasing." We should always keep the Word of God in our minds, whether we're at home, at work, at school, wherever we're at, right? You can easily have a silent prayer or even a conversation with whoever you're with about God. And all of that can be added into the tithes of our time. So I encourage you to think about this question seriously. How much time are we each giving back to God? I want to skip this section and go to Stephen Covey, he talks about, in his book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Has anyone heard of this book? So some people have heard about it, but he talks about instead of getting more done, that we should focus on getting more important things done. And one might wonder, well, what does he mean by important things? And really the distinction is about being efficient versus effective, right? Because if you go back to what I was talking about, if you measure your time for a few days, one may say that that's efficient, right? Okay, I know how much time I spent doing this, I know how much time I spent doing that, and I know how much time I spent doing this, and I had a crisis, so I had to drop everything for this day and focus on this one thing, and I got it done. That could be considered efficient, right? That's an efficient use of time. If you have a crisis, you manage it. But when you think about being effective, it's actually planning ahead to avoid a crisis, right? It's planning ahead for long-term time periods so that you're not in a situation where like, oh my God, tomorrow's Monday, I have five deadlines that crept up on me, I didn't know how to manage my time, so now my plan for Monday is out the door and I have to take care of this crisis, because the deadlines are in front of me and I have to deal with it. And if you complete those deadlines in that last minute, you're still being efficient with your time, but you're not being effective because you didn't plan ahead. I'm sure not all of these deadlines crept up to you in that last day or a few hours. You probably knew ahead of time this assignment was due this, or this meeting is coming up, or this activity, and whether you prepared for it ahead of time or not is a different story. And that's where we talk about the notion of urgent versus important. And it's really critical that we know the difference, because it's important about how you prioritize and manage your time if you manage it according to these concepts. So, an important task is one whose completion would significantly contribute to key goals. An urgent task appears to require immediate attention. Again, so if you think about it in the context of planning, it's about anticipating and preparing for things. And that's how you can distinguish important versus urgent. Important is something that needs to happen, right? And if you procrastinate it, it becomes urgent, right? Urgent things are things that, for whatever reason, happened or need to happen immediately, and so you have to almost drop everything and do it. So essentially what Stephen Covey is trying to tell us about this is we need to draw almost a line in the sand in our life and say, from now on, we are going to do more planning. We're going to do more preparing, so that we minimize the number of things that fall in this urgent category and we maximize the number of things that fall in the important category. And without going into too much detail of this, he creates a quadrant of four sections. If you think of a 2x2, and he's got urgent, unurgent, important, unimportant. And so on the top left, you're focusing on the things that are both important and urgent. And that's really what his book and his concepts talk about, maximizing your time. If you can spend the majority of your time in the top left quadrant of this 2x2 matrix, you're doing well. And then he says the next most important or critical of the quadrants is the bottom left, which is important but not urgent. And then, of course, the whole right side is the urgent thing. And what he's trying to encourage us to do, if we do time management well, is we move a lot of those things that are considered urgent now, maybe because we haven't planned or prepared well. If we start planning and preparing, we get them to more the important column, and we don't have to deal with them as a sense of urgency. So here are some examples that were filled in one of these quadrants, and I encourage you again to think of, what are the things that you do in your time and you spend your time, and where do they fall? And see, how are you spending your time? Are we spending our time in the not important and not urgent things? Because those tend to be the funnest things, right? TV, talking to friends that we just saw yesterday and we're just trying to figure out how their day went and there was no major milestones. It's just, you know, whatever it is. Those kind of things, the loitering and the checking of you know, internet, Facebook, I'm sure falls in this one a lot. These are the things that they suck our time. But when you think about it in the grand scheme of things, they're probably really not that important and they're probably really not very urgent. But as humans, they're fun things to do, so we gravitate toward them, you know? And this is also an issue when we ever have, like, pockets of time that we don't know what we're doing, or we're waiting for someone or waiting for something to happen, that's usually where we gravitate to first. It's like, okay, I've got 5 minutes. You're not going to expect me to manage these 5 minutes. I'm waiting for a meeting to happen. Or I showed up on time and someone's late. Fine, let me find, you know, Facebook. Or let me pick up the phone and just call someone and see what's going on. But in fact, if you plan your time, you can actually create lists for you to do during those idle moments, right? There are, I'm sure, a number of things that we need to call people for, I don't know, for something that we're trying to buy, or something we're trying to organize, or call a family member who needs to hear your voice, or whatever it might be. Some of those things only take a few minutes, right? And if we are sitting waiting for public transportation or for whatever it might be, and we've got some idle time, if we have organized our thoughts as to what we need to do for that day or for that week, then we'll be able to whip out a few things that may take short periods of time that we can use in those elements of our day where just out of our control. And we have a few minutes to spare here or a few minutes to spare there. So it is very important. Again, it's part of the whole planning and the prioritizing. If we can think ahead and know what it is that we need to accomplish by when and plan accordingly, that, you know, it'll help us a lot with our time management. So I don't know how much time we have, but I had an illustration, and maybe we can just talk through it because it will take a lot of time. But essentially, I brought some materials to try and convey something. So if we had each team broken up and we had a cup, everybody had a cup and some of these materials, I'm just going to show them so you can at least get the visual of it, of trying to fill all of these materials in this glass, right? So you've got something that's a rock that's pretty thick. You've got some other things that are, you know, thin and slender, and then you've got sugar, which is extremely fine, right? What do you think the most efficient way to fill this glass with as many of these things possible is? What do you start off with first?
The big one.
The big one? Okay. Any other thoughts?
Sugar.
You start with the sugar? What do you guys think? The big or the small? How many people think the big? How many people think the small? Well, the answer is the big, right? Because when you throw in all of these big objects, they're going to take the most space. This is probably not the best illustration, but they're going to take up the most space, and these thinner things can kind of fit in between in the nooks and crannies that are created by these big objects that don't compress on each other completely, right? So there was one activity a while ago, I think we did it at a convention, where we put in big rocks and we asked people, is their cup full? And a lot of people said yes, because the rocks came up to here and there was nothing else to do for those big rocks. Then we brought in the next size object. They didn't know there were other sized objects. And it was maybe like small pebbles or something. And then we said, now see if you can add more to your cup. And of course they started putting the pebbles, and they could see how everything kind of trickled in between the gaps of the big rocks. And then we asked them again, is this cup full? Some people continued to say yes. So then we brought in sand or sugar or whatever fine elements. And again, they poured it in and were able to fit more stuff. And then they said, you know what, there's absolutely nothing you can do. And we argued with them, bring some water. And so we brought water, and they were able to, again, sift in the water because it, you know, it went down to the bottom. So the analogy here is the big rocks are the time sinker activities in our lives. The things that are high priority and they're going to take a lot of time from us. And I know from my experience, and maybe others experience the same thing, that if there is a daunting task, something that we know is going to take hours and hours, and we don't want to ever just start because we feel it's going to just consume us, and we're always procrastinating and say, I'll deal with it later. I have to save an entire day to do this task before I can start because I don't want to start a little task of it and then leave it till later. I'll forget or I won't be efficient. But in fact, it's these big rocks, these big tasks that we should start first. We should give them the first priority. And another tidbit that Stephen Covey gave in his book is to make a minimum amount of these big rock tasks every day. Because if you have so many, you overwhelm yourself and you're not going to get anything done. You're going to be like, where do I start? I know I'm not going to get it done, so why should I even bother? But if you think of 2, 3, 4, whatever your level of efficiency of your time is that you think you can accomplish, do that. And again, it gets back to the point that I mentioned before about sense of accomplishment. If you have only 2 or 3 tasks that are big and you can say at the end of the day, I did them, it gives you so much more like feeling of success and accomplishment to be able to complete things the next day and so on, then if you have 10 things and say, you know what, I only got 3 things done, I feel like a failure, or I missed out on helping this person, or I didn't deliver for that thing, right? So it's about understanding how to prioritize and use your time effectively. So if you don't put the big rocks in first, you'll never get them in, right? Because if you think about it, if we started with the sugar, and then we went to these guys, and then I asked you to add water in between and then put the rocks, you're going to maybe get 1 rock in by that time. So it's important to get the big rocks, the big tasks in first, and then just like the visual analogy, as you're doing those big things, there may be times for breaks, there may be time for, okay, you did something, and now you're waiting for someone to build on it. You sent, you know, a report for someone to review, and you know they're going to take a while because it's a 10-page document or whatever. You've done your part, now you can do other things, right? Because you have to manage the best of your time with what's in your control. Obviously, there's things that we do that is not just us. We have to wait for other team members, we have to wait for someone else in another city or whatever it might be, and there's lag times and there's, you know, all kinds of things that are out of our control. So the more you can anticipate those things and do those earlier on, the better off you are. I think I'm going to stop here and just give you one more tip that we use a lot these days. And this is something that my wife has taught me. So it's pretty new. But what she does as far as her time management is she thinks backwards. So if she knows she needs to be at, let's say, a restaurant for 8 p.m. reservation, she thinks, okay, it takes me X amount of time to get ready. It's going to take us 15 minutes travel time to get there. I need to make a few phone calls after my work is done for urgent things. I'm going to plan to end work around X time, and she calculates back to know, okay, at this point I need to make sure that I start getting ready process. At this point I need to make sure that I'm in the car driving to the restaurant. So you have almost like a backward checklist that helps you monitor how you're spending your time to get to the ultimate goal, which is that 8 p.m. dinner reservation. And if you think about that, it's a trial and error, right? Because you can argue you don't know what the traffic patterns are going to be like. You don't know how many red lights you're going to hit. You don't know if you're going to get stuck behind a truck. You may not know exactly when your work day will end. You may not know what interruptions may come about. But if you start planning that way and you work backwards, little by little, you realize, okay, that time we got to the restaurant at 8:15 because we had 15 minutes of traffic that we had to deal with. So next time we know our estimate for the travel time was off, so now we have to change the travel time estimate, and so forth and so forth. So these are all like tidbits and tools to think about when you're trying to manage your day and your time and when you're trying to prioritize and how you get through the day when there's a lot of different things going on, a lot of distractions, and so forth. So I didn't get through the whole presentation, but I think we'll just leave it at that, and we'll see if anybody has any questions or other suggestions or tips that they do in managing their time and prioritizing things. No questions, no comments? Everybody is perfect time managers? Maybe I shouldn't be giving this lesson. You guys should.
Well, thank you for doing that lesson. I'm glad I went.
You're welcome. Yes.
I think one of the most important topics that Sammy has covered it very well. I have only one comment. The comment comes when you really become busy. Because Sammy and Laura don't know what happens when the kids come. There are a lot of things that you cannot plan. The thing is about success in your life. Two very important things, and he touched on that. Number one, you have to be very careful and know exactly your goals, and that will determine your priority. And you have to be almost so rigid about it, because if you don't, the whole world will take you off from here to there, and just like a train going, they get you off the track. So you must have your priorities and your goals in life well determined from your youth, because things don't get better. That's why I'm saying later on things start getting difficult and tough. The second thing is learn always to unload. Unload. You've got so many things. When you write your priorities, you say, okay, this is number 5 and 6, 7 and 8. I'm not going to do it. Or, if I can get to them, fine. If I don't get to them, they are not the most important things in my life. Weddings. Social activities. People that you have to know. These are very important, very nice. But they, where they lie in your priorities. Because sooner or later you'll find yourself abandoning important things because you don't want this one to be unhappy. You don't want to do this. And after you end up a lifetime or a portion of your life, you find that you really haven't accomplished anything. Or what you accomplished is insignificant. And that's why busy people have determined exactly how they spend their time. And the best example I saw is Father Tedros Malakos. He published, I think, more books in the church, spiritual and biblical, than any other, including Pope Francis. You know how he does it? While you are talking with him, he has a blank piece of paper and he's writing. What are you talking then? I don't know how he does it. While they are sitting in the altar, while he is acting as a priest, he has a piece of paper, and he either writing the points of his next book, and he continues. Why? Because he has a goal in his mind, and he determined that that's very important. And you find effective people because they have put the goals and the priorities. They unload. You ask them to do this. Well, sorry, I can't. Why? Because it's low on my priority. I got to do the other things. It's better to have 3-4 good friends than to have the whole world acquaintances and they pulling you here and there. And you find yourself can't even move. Why? Because everybody's pulling you. And they say, I'm very busy. Okay, what do you think of yourself? The people who got mad at me. Well, be it. If you in your mind have made up your mind that this is your priority, you're going to do it that way, nobody should get into your boundaries. You see? You have to have boundaries too. And we'll talk about that next time, the boundaries.
So that's a short ad from Uncle Otto for his next talk next week about boundaries.
Nothing to do with time, by the way.
I just wanted to add, I think another piece that we get tempted by the instant gratification. We're an instant gratification culture, and you get the instant gratification from a lot of the short-term urgent type things. So I enjoy talking to my friends, but even though my goal is longer-term and out there, so we just have to recognize that and balance that, because sometimes we get really distracted.
What do you do when they call you on the phone and they don't want to let go?
You replan the rest of the week.
You understand there's another call in my
You don't lie. Very important.
Really?
You say it straight, you know. I really, my time is short now. I have to go.
Okay, so I just want to remind you again about the verse to consider. It's Ephesians 5:16, that says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So it's pretty simple if you want to try and memorize it. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. And then I also remember that I had a brief summary slide. We can maybe go through that. That's only going to take a few seconds. So it's important to give God the time in your day and give Him time first. God should be our first priority, so we should give Him the best time of our day too, right? So when we wake up, I'm sure there's a whole slew of things that we can do to get ready and to get out the door, and if we wake up late and all of these things that happen in our busy morning. But despite that, it is so important, and it's a big blessing too, to give God some of that time. Even if it's a brief prayer, if you can't pray the whole Igveya, something brief, some kind of meditation or time with God in quiet and peace will go a long, long way. Believe it. Because I've had days where I'm just like, you know what, God, I'm sorry. I messed up. I woke up late or something came up and I can't. And so I go without acknowledging Him in the morning. And there are other days when I acknowledge Him and it is a very big difference. So it's very important, and it's a great way of managing your time. Make that time and say, just like you have to make time for showering and wash and brushing your teeth and all of those other things you do in the morning, make that as one of those things that have to happen, right? You're not going to walk out of the house without brushing your teeth. So you're not going to walk out of the house without praying. It's the same thing. Again, it's what's important to you and what you're making time for. Plan ahead, like we heard from Stephen Covey and some of those concepts. The more you plan ahead, the less likely you'll have all of these urgent things that blow up in your face because you didn't realize they were coming and they're right there in front of you. Prioritize your tasks. Make sure you know what are the really important things that you need to accomplish in that day or that week so that you can prioritize. The concept of urgent versus important, that quadrant, the 2x2 matrix, maybe that's a good tool to help you use to understand and to compare. What is each of these activities that I'm doing? Where do they fit in that spectrum? And avoid procrastinating. That's the worst thing you can do. If anything, at least take a stab at starting it and saying, okay, I'm going to make an outline of the report if I don't want to do the whole report. Or I'm going to at least jot down some notes as to this is what I need to say at this meeting or this is what I need to tell this person when I have time to call them. At least start the tasks that you feel are important and don't procrastinate them, however big or small they are. Thank you very much for your attention.